shall we? Dear Father, thank you for your word. You've spoken to us, Lord. I just bless you, Lord, that we're on the voyage of discovery as we dig into your word, Lord. Wonderful things. And we pray as David prayed so many years later after what we're going to be looking at tonight, Lord. Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. Grant us help, Lord, and in seeing may we respond with praise and thanks. In Jesus' name. Right. Well, I'm not starting with the passage that I mentioned because I have to lead up to that. You know, there's a foundation for me. So we're going to look at Deuteronomy. It's a puzzle of a passage for you, if you like. Deuteronomy 4, verse 24, which is an interesting verse. We will get to Genesis 16 eventually, but Deuteronomy 4, 24 is the verse I want to start with.
Deuteronomy 4, verse 24.
Say something like this: For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. Right. Okay? So God got great power, burning power. Mentioned that in Hebrews. Right. So let's have a look at Exodus 33:20. The effect of that is to be seen in Exodus 33. If God is a consuming fire, Exodus 33, verse 20, which should say something like this. But God says, you cannot, he's talking to Moses, of all people. But God said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock, and cover you with my hand until I pass by, and then I will remove my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Now there's
rock.
A puzzle for you.
Crack in the rock, you mean what, hole in his face?
Yes, a crack in the rock. He put him inside the crack, covered him over, and as he went by, then he could see the back of God. Right? Right? And of course, one of the wonderful things we're going to be looking at tonight is, it's not simply prophecy that we're looking at about Jesus. We're going to meet Jesus as well, which is good, isn't it? Yeah. You see, about the cleft in the rock is prophetic. You see, right. How can we behold God? How can we stand in God's presence? We need to be hidden in the rock. And the rock
is the rock.
It's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the rock was cracked because he died for us, of course. You see, the symbolism's there. It's prophetic symbolism, we could say. Mm-hmm. But It's nice to see the symbolism, but it's nice to meet the person.
Yeah.
Right,
there's a song of that, isn't it?
Yes, hide me in the cleft of the rock, yes.
Well, didn't Moses,
he did see God face to face now. That's the point I'm saying. God says, no one can see me and live. Right? But let's have a look at Matthew 5:8. Right? Just keep it going. Matthew 5:8. This is a good exercise for you,
know. You know your Bible, wouldn't
it? Yes. Matthew, you get to know where to find things anyway. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, it's one of the Beatitudes. What does he say? Matthew 5 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Right? So, no man will see God and live if you're in your natural state. But if you're pure in heart, then you will see God.
Right?
Right. Now, just two more verses, and before we get to our Genesis passage, right? Actually, I have a few more verses. Sorry, apology. If you go to Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6 talks about, well, don't look at Isaiah chapter, well, you can do, yes, Isaiah chapter 6. You've got it now, Tom. It starts with, Jean.
You've got your
Oh, no, I've got it in my head, that one. I haven't
it.
I know Isaiah 6, I learned that.
This one.
Or some of it, anyway. It's a good chapter. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, that's right.
Yeah.
Glory,
yeah?
Okay. And then he saw his vision of these angels, seraphim, they're called, right? The burning ones. And they bow down before God, say, holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty, yes. And then Isaiah says, oh, woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And what comes next?
They were called.
No, what are they called? Isaiah chapter 6, I can't see the number. My eyes have seen the Lord. Right. Yes. He's just seen the Lord. Yes. Right. How has he been able to see the Lord is because he's been cleansed. As you see later on that.
Then come back.
Not quite like that. Yes. Dead to his old life. Yes. That's now, just hold in your mind. Isaiah, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The word there is capital L-O-R-D, isn't it? That's Yahweh. God saw the Lord. Right? Now then, if you'll turn to John 12:41. Very important passage. John 12:41. Just a few words that is John's commentary on Isaiah chapter 6. John, what did I say? John 12:41. John 12:41. Right. Verse 39, we'll pick it up here first. It says, for this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah said elsewhere, this is in chapter 6, he blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts. They could neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Well, how about that? It doesn't actually say Jesus in the Greek, does it, John? What did it say?
He saw his glory.
But who is the him that he's talking about? Yeah. It's Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Jesus he's talking about, so the NIV have substituted the word Jesus for his in order to explain what he's talking about. So you've got the point. Because that's what John's making. It's a very strong point. Isaiah saw Jesus' glory. And he said, I've seen the Lord. And the point I'm going to make tonight is, wherever God appears, he's always through the vehicle of Jesus that he manifests himself. Right?
So what you're saying is, so when we say we have part of the vehicle of Jesus, of God.
Well, it's God.
Yeah, it's God.
Yeah. We're coming to that. Ah, you see. This is what I'm trying to get at. There's a mystery in all of this that we see with Jesus. And the mystery, this is the centre verse, really, of all what I'm talking about tonight. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Right? John's Gospel, chapter 1. Right? You know this well, don't you? They've often read it at Christmas, but it's an all-year one, this. In the beginning was the Word. Right? Okay? But look what he says. What he says about the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now there's the mystery. There's a person who is with God and at the same time shares the same nature as God. Right? Got the point? He's with God, so he's separate in one sense. There's the difference between being with and being the same. Right? He's with God, but he is God. Right? And that is Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. Right, that's the point we're trying to establish here. So, and he talks about him being the creator. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Jehovah's Witnesses translate that differently. They use the word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Right? Because there's no definite article in front of the, I don't want to get technical, for John's sake, a bit of Greek, yeah. There's no technical, there's no definite article. You know the definite article? The word the. Right? The definite article is not in front of the word God in that verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if there's no definite article, you'd normally say a God. So the Jehovah's Witnesses say, it says, Jesus was a God. He wasn't the big one, but he's one, you know, something, yes? Just one technical problem. When a name is a proper name, you don't use the definite article with it. Right? So Jesus is God, the proper name. Just to clear that point up in case you need to know. Right. Okay, but so God's, you know, there's a mystery about this. God and yet with God. Right? This person called the Word. Right? And then John says something else about it in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Right? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Right. He says, this person became flesh and dwelt among us. And we know his name. Jesus. Yes, right. So that's the background to what we're going to be looking at. As you can imagine, if that's one of the fundamental truths about who God is, that he exists in this wonderful personhood of Jesus and the Father, and we obviously see the Spirit revealed in other places. If that's the truth about God, then you'd expect him to show up like that in the Old Testament too. Maybe a bit shaded, maybe a bit veiled, but God is going to reveal himself as he is in the Old Testament, as he is in the New Testament. And that's the point I want to make tonight. We're going to meet Jesus in the Old Testament, right? Right.
Always Father and the Son.
Always.
Always.
The eternally begotten of the Father is the sort of theological statement, yes. Yes. And the wonder, the marvel of that is, just to explain this, is that God is a relationship God. He has always existed in his being as Father, Son and Spirit. And so he's always had fellowship. And therefore God is a God who is a relationship being and wants to make creatures to have a relationship with him as well. Wonderful. Yeah. It's marvellous. God didn't need anybody. I mean, that's the other thing. If God is perfectly happy with himself, as he would be, he didn't need to create us. But his love is so big, he thought, well, I better make somebody to show them I love them, you see. So that's us, we're in. It's wonderful. Anyway, I'm trivialising it, but it's amazing. Okay, so let's meet this Word, as he's called, the Word before he became flesh. Right? So he existed, as he says, he was in with God in the beginning. Right? So this Word that didn't become human until he was born as a baby Jesus. Right? But he was about before he was born. Right. Okay, so let's have a look now at Genesis chapter 16, verse 7. This is where we meet a reference to him the very first time. Genesis 16, verse 7. Where we get him.
So the Word was made
The Word was there who made the world. Everything was made. The Jehovah's Witness to do this as well. I don't know if you're aware of this. In that John bit, he says, through him was everything made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And what they do is they put in brackets, everything else was made, meaning that the Word was made first, and then he made everything else. What do you do when twist scriptures, you know?
Bad.
Terrible. Anyway, there you are. The word else, I can tell you this, it's not in there, in the Greek. It's not there. Right. Anyway, okay, Genesis 16 is, the background of this is Hagar and Ishmael. Ishmael had grown up to be a teenager and was mocking little Isaac. And Ishmael had been the child of Abraham and Hagar. And eventually there were clashes between Sarah and Abraham and Hagar. So that Hagar chucked her out. No, Sarah chucked her out. But in verse 6, Abraham says about to his wife, he said, do whatever with her, whatever you think best. Then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. That wasn't good. Yeah. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that was on the road beside the road to Shur. And she said, Hagar, and he said, Hagar, servant to Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with child, and you will have a son, and you will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He will live in hostility towards all his brothers. She gave him the name. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahar Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. I said that Ishmael was born. He wasn't born yet. She's pregnant. And she gets...
Is he still there now?
Sorry?
Is he still there now? Like it's still there.
This well? No. That's when it was written then. Yeah. It's still there at the time when it was written. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing that's important about... several things. Well, there's lots of things in this chapter. Just to say two things that are completely extraneous in one sense. The issue of Hagar and Ishmael has got a lot to do with Islam. I don't know if you're aware of that. But the Muslims teach that the blessing of God came from Abraham to Ishmael. And then went through that to the Arab peoples, yeah? Whereas the Bible, Jews and Christians believe, as it says in the Bible, the blessing came to Isaac. Right? That was the issue, right? The blessing came through Isaac. But God did bless Ishmael. And this is important for the Arabs, that they weren't sidelined and kicked out. God had a blessing for them. And the other thing that's important, just to say, is verse 12. Where it says he will be a wild donkey of a man, right? Okay, that sounds a bit of a criticism and disparaging, doesn't it? But if you understand what a wild donkey is, yeah, then you wouldn't be quite so insulted. I think I've read some Arab believers, they come to know the Lord, but they were Arab Muslims at one stage, and this idea of the criticism of Ishmael doesn't go down well, of course, as you can imagine. But to be described as a wild donkey is, in American equivalents, to call him a Mustang. Now, if you call someone a Mustang in America, you're not putting them down, you're saying, you know. So that's the description that's being given to Ishmael. He's a wild, independent sort of guy. He's a macho boy. Yeah, that's the idea. So that's something else. Okay, so God's blessing him.
Why would God send her back to someone who's ill treating her?
Because she needs a home until the boy's old enough to go to be looked after. But also she needs to learn how not to. The problem was, you see, she got pregnant through Abraham, and now she's looking down on Sarah. Can't get a baby, can you? So she was giving Sarah some grief. So Sarah thinks, well, I'm in charge here, I'll give her some grief, you know. It's these ladies when they fall out, you know, I'm sorry. careful on that one, yeah.
Polygamy was okay in the Old Testament.
It wasn't okay, but it was accepted. Yes, it wasn't okay. It was never okay. And if you read the Bible, you'll find out anybody who was involved in a polygamous relationship lived to regret it. So God accepted that they weren't abiding by his original ideas, but anyway, there you go. Okay, so where do we go now then? First, back to this. It says that the angel of the Lord appeared to her and spoke to her. So this is, looks like a person, a real person, right? Who comes to speak to her. Right? So it's called in verse 7 and 9, the angel of the Lord. Right? Okay? Now then, what does the angel do? He speaks as if he's God. He says, I will increase your descendants and they will be too numerous to count. Yeah? That's God talking. That's God talking. God controls the destinies of nations. Right? Right? And then he says, the angel of the Lord said to her, you're going to have a child, and so on, what will happen? So he's predicting the future. That's God's work as well. Yeah? Right? So she now then, verse 13, she gave this name to the capital L-O-R-D who spoke to her. That's God, Yahweh. Right? So Yahweh just spoke to her, although it's the angel of the Lord who's spoken to her. Right? And she calls him, you are the God who sees me. So we've got every name for God you can have, and it's all tagged on to the angel of the Lord. Yeah? That's what I call Jesus. Yeah? So she says, you are the God who sees me, and I have now seen the one who sees me. Right? And that's, so she calls the well, Bir Laharoi, which in Hebrew being translated means, it can mean that, yes. The well of the one who sees me. That's definitely how we understand it, right? Okay. But it can also mean it's the well of the living one who has seen. What she's saying is this. I've seen God and I've lived to tell. I'm living and he's seen me. And I've seen him. Right? So that's part of it as well, okay? So it is the well of the God who saw her. He did see her and came to her rescue. But also she's expressing in a very compact way that she's alive after having seen him. Right. Okay? Except when God touched them and saved them and transformed their lives. Right? There's an old hymn. You've heard it? Eternal Light? Some of you not, you know? It's a beautiful old hymn. We don't sing it, but it's Eternal Light, Eternal Light, how pure the soul must be when set within thy searching sight. It shrinks not, but with calm delight can live and look on thee. Yeah? And then one of the, there is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, advocate with God, Jesus, of course. It's the only way you can see the eternal light is through Jesus. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on, shall we, dear friends? So it's called the Well of the Living Sight. That's another way of translating Bir Laharoi, the Well of the Living Sight, meaning she saw and she lived, as well as God saw and he's alive. Right. Sometimes Hebrew can be ambiguous for several reasons. You know, I've said this before, when you're looking at Jewish things, you have to think with both hands. Mm. On the one hand this, on the other hand that. Okay. So either or, with both. Right.
She must have felt well blessed then.
She was well blessed. And it enabled her to go back for the next 10 or so years, or 15 even years maybe, to stick it out.
Yeah.
Maybe change her attitude as well. Yeah. Right.
When you say the Lord, you don't care about it.
No. But the Lord appeared to her because of Abraham. She's carrying Abraham's child. And so that's the basis of it. Okay. It's not Israel, no, it's Ishmael. Ishmael, yes, right. So let's move on now. We're coming along to Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. Right. Now then, interesting story. We'll meet Jesus again. Right. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Who appeared?
The Lord.
The Lord appeared. Right. We've got that, right? The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Can you feel it now? Hot day, sun beating down. Right. And he says, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. Right. So what are they? They're men. Are they men? They look like men. Right, okay. So three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bow down low to the ground. He said, If I found favour in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by, but let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me go to get something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered, do as you say. So, this is Middle Eastern hospitality. Some visitors turn up, and you welcome them in, right, to provide for them, right? And they say, he says to them, if I found favour in your eyes, my lord, and they've got a little L-O-R-D there, right? Why? Because it's sir, it's another word to say, gentleman, right? That's a nice, it's a term of respect, but that's the idea, yeah? Okay, now then. So, Abraham goes and does all that, gets some food ready and all that, and he tells the let's carry on. Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get three seahs of fine flour and knead it to make some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. McDonald's has got nothing on this. Fast food. Yeah. Mind you, they're not in a hurry, but okay. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked. There in the tent, he said. Then the Lord said. So amongst this group of three, there's the Lord in it, right? The Lord said, I will surely return about this time next year, and Sarah your wife will have a son. That's a prophecy for you, right? Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent with the jam jar to her ear to make sure she could hear better, you know, stethoscope on the wall, yeah, right, and she was behind them, right. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, so did she believe what she heard?
No.
Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? How did he know she laughed? Right, there's something unusual about this Lord person here, isn't there? Right? Okay, then he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Right, that's another way of saying it, I can do it. Right, okay. I will return to you at this appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, and so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh.
You did,
right? But there's some. I think there's some. I've thought on this passage many times over the years. I think there's something very precious in there. Is that
he's not telling her off? I don't think he's correcting her. But in the correcting her, he puts a spark inside her heart. God's spoken to her, and he's spoken into her spirit. And what was not faith now is faith. Right? And that in 9 months' time, she's going to have a baby, or a year's time, as it says there. Right? So God speaking to her creates faith in the heart. Angels don't do that, really. I suggest, you know, they can change the outwards, but they can't change hearts. Right. Anyway, verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Who's about to do? The Lord's about to do. But I don't know if you know the story. He doesn't go there. He sends two angels. Two people. Two men.
Well, that's two men that was with him.
The two men are angels, in fact.
The ones that was with him.
Yes. Right. But why does the Bible, why at this point does he use the term three men? It's so that he doesn't put the word, because it's the angel of the Lord and two angels.
Yeah.
But if you use the word angel, it sort of lumps them together.
Yeah.
But Jesus isn't to be lumped together with others. Now, he is over all angels, not the same as. So I think that's why the term's used as three men there. But anyway, he says that. Now then, the Lord said, so it's him talking again, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. Now then, I don't know, does that ring any bells to you, that phrase? I will go down and see. I will go down and see. Does it ring any bells? Babel. Yeah. God says, as he looks from heaven to see what's going on at the Tower of Babel, he says, I'll go down and see. It's God talk. Yeah? The Lord's saying, I'll go and find out what's going on here, and then I'll sort them out. Yeah? The angel is speaking as God speaks. Yeah, now I'll have a look, see what's going on. And he doesn't go down to look, because he can see. Right. So then it says, the men turned away and went towards Sodom, and Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Right. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, and treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? That term can only be applied to God. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? There's only one person who's the judge. That's God. Right? So it's speaking to the angel as God. Right? And so it goes on. And you can read verse 33. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Right, so that's Abraham. He's met the angel of the Lord, he's met the Lord, he's met God, right? It's all one. It's Jesus. Right, okay. So, and he sends down the two angels to sort things out in Sodom, as we discovered.
That's the one who was in prison that time, what's his name? And he's 3 minutes in his cell.
Oh, you mean what's his name? Yes, the criminal chap who got saved.
Yeah, he woke up and 3 men were in his cell, dressed really nice.
Yes.
He was a thief in the end. He sent.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Fred. Was it Fred?
Fred.
Fred. Fred
Lennon, isn't it?
Fred Lennon. Thank you, John. Yes, that was the name of the man. One of those funny people, yes. Right, yes. Okay, let's move on. Jesus keeps popping up, you know. Genesis 28, 11 to 22. Genesis 28. Right. Jacob's on the run. He's just cheated his brother out of the inheritance. Right. And his brother's threatening to kill him, so he does a runner. And we find in verse 11, it says, when he reached the place, a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, and its top reaching to heaven. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. And I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And then, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, house of God, that means, though the city used to be called Luz. Right. And so he has this dream, and he sees a vision of God at the top, and this ladder coming down to earth, and the angels going up and down on it, stairways. We call it, the old version says Jacob's ladder. It wasn't a ladder, it was a staircase, you know, that's the idea. I always think of it, one of those things on the tubes, you know, the escalators. But anyway, there we are. That's my funny imagination. But Jacob sees this picture, he sees the Lord, top, right? And in Genesis 31, just move on with it. Genesis 31, it refers back to it. Genesis 31:11. Right? You can find that. It says, the angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob, I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see all that you have. And the angel appears to him and gives him some instructions about how to breed sheep. Right? Okay? And then we get verse 13. The angel of the Lord said, angel of God said, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Right? So the angel of God is the God of Bethel. Right? That's the point we're trying to make. So the angel of the Lord is none other than God himself. Right? But we know it's Jesus, of course. Right? But there's an interesting little extra to add to that. I think you might find quite remarkable. If you just hold into Genesis and look at John chapter 1, verse 51. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Right? Here's something remarkable for you. John 1:51. This will give you something to puzzle about. It's about Nathanael. And his brother invites him to meet Jesus, right? Philip goes and calls Nathanael. Verse 45, we'll pick it up from chapter 1. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus, son of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I saw you, told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that. Then he added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's a puzzle for you, isn't it? Now then. This is a reference back to Jacob's dream. You got that, yeah? The angels descending and ascending. Right? It's a reference back to Jacob's dream. But there's a lot going on here. Notice what he calls Nathanael. He says, here is an Israelite in whom there is no guile. So what's he saying? He says,
Yes, but he's saying something really, really lovely. He's saying is, here is no Jacob. What was Jacob? The guile guy, right? And he says, he's an Israel, not a Jacob, in whom there is nothing Jacoby. Right? He's the genuine guy. Right? So Jesus says, ah, you're the right guy, Nathaniel. And Nathaniel says, how do you know me? He says, I saw you praying. And it wasn't just that he saw you praying, he's actually saying, I know what you're praying about. Is it really? He sees into Nathaniel's heart. And Nathaniel instantly recognises that this isn't just any old person, this is God himself. You are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus says, you believe, just because I said that. You're going to see something even more fantastic. You'll see, now isn't it? You'll see heaven open, that's what Jacob saw, right? And you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Right, so who's the staircase? Jesus is the staircase, right? But I thought the angel of the Lord was at the top of the staircase. God's at the top of the staircase, and Jesus is the staircase. Right? But the angel of the Lord is Jesus as well. I'd like to suggest this. The angel of the Lord is the God, and that Jesus, the Son of Man, is the man on the staircase. Angels have means of accessing heaven and earth because Jesus has become the mediator. Right? And he's the man who is the mediator. Anyway, there you go. I think it's fantastic, yes? So that's Jesus. Jacob met Jesus. Of course he did. Right. Let's move on, dear friends. We get that this is a beautiful one, this one. Jacob meets the Lord again. It's in Genesis 32, verse 24. Genesis 32, verse 24.
What was that, 32,
24? 32, yes. God has told Jacob that he's got to go back and face the music. After all those years, he's going to meet his brother Esau. And he's not very happy about it. Because the last time he heard Esau talk, he was threatening to kill him. So he didn't think anything had changed. So he's rather worried. So what he does is he does the old Jacob trick. Send a few gifts across, you know. Send them ahead. Get everything in front and he'll turn up last. Right? And while he's on his own, at last God gets a chance to have a go at him. So verse 21. So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp at last. That night, Jacob got up with his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions, and so Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. And so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Back to that. When they see God, they're frightened to die. Right? He says, "I've seen God." So he calls the place Peniel, which in Hebrew means the face of God.
But they see face of God, they're frightened.
Yes. Well, it's powerful stuff, you know.
Yeah, but if they see God, they're not going to find the die, are they?
Yeah, you can blast them off the planet. I mean, the interesting, yes. They're worried. Yes, that's because you found Jesus. If you haven't found Jesus, you'd better be worried.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Yes.
You said he wrestled what? Actually wrestled?
Wrestled with him. Yeah, wrestling.
With his head?
No, it wasn't with his head, because it was real physical wrestling. Because the interesting thing is, he says, he overcame God with the wrestling, right? But by the time the match is over, he says, "Let me go." And what did he do? What did he do? He says he touched him in the socket of his hip and dislocated it.
Oh.
Now I think if I could touch somebody's hip by just doing that and dislocating, I think I've got a lot more power than I'm giving signs of. Mm-hmm. No. So he's wrestling with God, and yet there's the power there all the time just to blow him up, basically, right? But
There's something about Jacob. He's tenacious. He holds on. He's not going to let go until he gets blessed. Right? And of course, he does get blessed. And the interesting thing is, God says, I'm going to give you a new name. You're not Jacob anymore. He says, what's your name? Well, he knew what his name was. Why does he ask Jacob what his name is? It's the meaning of the name. Jacob means grasper. Grasper, the one who grabs the heel. Right? He's saying, what are you? What are you? He says, I'm a sinner. That's really what he's confessing. He's admitting to what he is, I'm a sinner. And the Lord says, you're not anymore, you're a prince. Israel means prince with God. Yes. Yes. So, he's blessed. And then he says, what's your name? He asks this person. He says, why do you ask? It's another way of saying, I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you. Right? But he calls the place Peniel. It was special. He met God there. And of course, it's got to be Jesus that he meets.
Yeah.
Right. Now, let's have a look at the commentary on that in Hosea. If you can find Hosea, you're a better man than I am. It's in there somewhere. Daniel Hosea.
Somewhere it talks about the man, when the man saw, if it's God,
yes.
It's not the man,
is it? He appears as the man. That's right, yes. God is appearing as the man.
It's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yes. It is incredible. Yeah. The incarnation is even more incredible. I mean, I can imagine God putting a show on, but he actually became a human being. Yeah.
I think if it appeared as someone,
you know,
you can understand.
Yes, he can be, and the only reason he can appear as a man is because man's made in his image. Isn't it? So, let's have a look at Hosea. Hosea, this is the commentary on that passage with Jacob there. Hosea 12. Find chapter 12, dear friends. Verses 3 to 5. You found it?
Hosea 12.
About Jacob. About Jacob. In Hosea 12, verse 3, God's got a few harsh words for Israel, but he talks about the old times here, just to start with.
He says,
verse 3, in Hosea chapter 12, verse 3, you got to find it yet? You found it? Right. In the womb he grasped his brother's heel. That's what Jacob means. He who grasps the heel. Right. In the womb he grasped his brother's heel. As a man he struggled with
God.
He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favour. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there. The Lord God Almighty. The Lord is his name of renown. Well, we know what his name is now then. He'd been fighting with God. Right? And so Hosea is putting a commentary on what was happening there. And he's saying is, he wrestled with the angel, he wrestled with God. Right? It's one and the same. It's the angel of the Lord. Okay. Right, so that's that commentary. And then just one more interesting thing is that there's a parallel between Jacob and Jesus. Right? Not just the ladder, but Jacob himself. Have a look at Hebrews, if you can, please. If I can find the reference. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 5. Get it right. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Hebrews 5, verse 7. My NIV doesn't pick it out very well, but
there is a...
Sorry?
Pop some bits off my NIV here.
Yeah?
I'm going to have to change it to something else.
It's alright, it's okay, no, it's alright. I like the NIV, it's alright.
I do, I've always used it.
Yeah, it's just a job smiling away there. But, I mean, like all translations, there are rooms for improvement.
I can't get the old King James, because I can't get there in the...
You can't get the visa down, down me, I don't know.
I understand it at all.
They won't understand what they're reading, mate, I'll tell them. Anyway, Hebrews 5, verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life he offered on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Right. So, he offered up prayers and petitions. I don't know if any other version mentions about wrestling there. Doesn't? Right. Well, Paul uses the idea, not in Hebrews here, but in other places, about wrestling in prayer. Right. Where do you think the term wrestling came from? Oh, Jacob. And he wrestled with prayer and he wrestled with God. And what did he get when he wrestled with God? He got blessed. Right? So do some more wrestling, folks. Right? Ah, now then. The question. Here's the question. Here's the question for you. This is completely by the side of it in a sense. Jacob's hip. Jacob's hip. Right? It's dislocated. If he went to the Super Fandango healing meeting that was going on down at the local pazzas, right, and people getting healed right, left and centre, and Jacob goes forward, will he get healed?
No.
Why not?
Only God.
Well, I mean, God's healing other people. God gave him the hip for a reason. What's the reason?
Of the blessing.
Hey?
Remind Joseph.
Always reminds him of the blessing. His weakness becomes his strength. Paul had that one as well, didn't he? Yeah?
Yeah?
Huh? The weakness reminds him all the time, God has blessed me.
And the same with Jesus with the marks on his hand.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I just thought I'd throw that one out for a interest, you know. Right. God has his ways, marvellous ways, and old Jacob is constantly reminded. I don't think he was in pain with it. I don't think he was in pain with it. No, it was always a reminder that he is just Jacob, and it's only the reason he's Israel is because God's blessing him. Yeah. Anyway, that's wrestling in prayer. We need to move on, dear friends. We've looked at Genesis 48. Is Jacob hobbling now? Is Jacob hobbling now? No. We're into Genesis 48. Genesis 48. Just a little bit this.
What verse is
that? I'll tell you in a second. Genesis 48, 15 and 16. It's old Jacob blessing the two boys of Joseph. Right? And 14 and 15. He blesses. It's interesting. Another interesting point. Verse 14, Israel reached out his right hand, that's Jacob, yeah? Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger, and crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Right? So, the two boys have been brought to Jacob to bless. Old one, the oldest one, and then the younger one, right? And what he does is, he puts his right hand on the younger one, and crosses over for the old one. Right? Because the right hand is the primary blessing. Right? And Joseph gets miffed about it. Dad, you've done it wrong. You've got the hands wrong. The wrong kids. He says, oh no, I know what I'm doing. God's done it again. He's gone through the younger one rather than the old one.
Yeah.
God can do what God wants. Right? And Jacob had got the message by now, you see. Right? So, then he blessed Joseph and said, he's blessing the boys, but he's blessing Joseph as the father representing them. Now listen to what he says. May the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys, and may they be called by my name and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth. Now that's a blessing he's pronouncing on these boys. It's a prophetic blessing on the boys. And it's a three-part blessing. Notice, he says, the God of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Right? So he's the God of my ancestors. That's the God we're talking about. He's got a name. He's the God of my father, Abraham and Isaac. Yeah? He says, the God who's been the shepherd all my life. The God who looked after me and cared for me. Right? So he's not just a God out there. He's a God who's been a personal God for him. And then he says, and the angel who has delivered me from all harm, the one who's protected him all the way. Notice he uses God twice and the angel once. Right? Yeah, but it's a three-part blessing. It's God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, I'd like to suggest, blessing this man. Yeah? Right? So, the angel's connected with God. That's what I'm getting at, yeah? Yeah? And he blesses them. Right, so that was just a little extra for you. No expense for that one. That's alright, yeah? Okay, now then, we move on. Let's move on to, we've left Genesis. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. Well, you're thought if the Lord appears to Abraham and Isaac, he'd certainly want to appear to Moses, who was going to be giving all those commandments and all that stuff for the people, yeah? Top man was Moses, yeah? So, what happens? Exodus chapter 3, Moses was now tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the far side of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And so Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? Then the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look. Look, it was the angel of the Lord, wasn't it? Yeah? It's now the Lord who sees it, yes? And the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look. God called to him from within the bush. Now we've got Lord, we've got God, we've got angel. Now you're getting the point. They're all going together, aren't they? Yes? Yeah. And he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So, same God. Same one who's revealing himself in the past is now revealing himself to Moses as the angel of the Lord. And he describes his name. You know the wonderful thing, is it in the... what's the wonderful thing that he tells him about his name? Is it in chapter 4? No, it's still chapter 3. Right? Moses makes all the excuses he can make, you know. Right? He does. He doesn't want to go. God says, I've seen the trouble that my people are having in Egypt, and I'm going down to bless them and get them free. Moses thinks, great. And God then says, I'm sending you, Moses, to do it. Ah! Well, can you send somebody else, Lord? You know, I can't talk, I can't do this. And he comes up with all the excuses. But one of the things he says, Moses says, verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And... he says, I'm the Lord. The word Lord is related to the word I am.
Yes.
The eternal God. Yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah. So, that's the one who was talking in the bush. That's Jesus.
He gets everywhere.
Well, we've not finished yet. We've not quite finished yet. So, there's Moses. Chapter 23 of Exodus, right? Now, you'll find this interesting. Exodus 23, verse 20 and 21. Exodus 23. They've gone to Mount Sinai. God has given the laws to Moses. He's made them his people. He's given them his law. And he's made promises to them. In chapter 23, verse 20. Chapter 23, verse 20. And God's promised to bless them. And he says this. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I prepared. Pay attention to him. And listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. Right? He was with God, and he is God. Right? My name is in him. Right? And my angel will go ahead of you, and so on, and he'll bring them to bless him. Right? Okay, so there's the promise. And do you know what they do? They quickly turn away by building a golden calf, don't they? And if you go through to verse, chapter, get this right one, chapter 33. Chapter 33, 1, verse 1 to start with. Chapter 33. Right. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought about of Egypt. Notice Moses has got the job now. And go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites. Go up to the land, flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. When the peoples heard these distressing words, they began to mourn and put on their ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you're stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. Right, so, what's happened? Is God said, I said, I've sent my angel. I'm not sending him, I'm sending him the Lord.
Same thing, same God.
It's another angel. It's not the angel of the covenant. It's not the angel of the Lord. Mm. Right? So they realise they're in stuck. You know, if they don't get the angel, then any old angel's not going to do the job for them. Right? So they're really distressed. And Moses intercedes for the people. And then we find, if I can find my reference, verse 14. Verse 14. Chapter 33 of Exodus, yeah. Right. Let's jump from verse 12. Moses intercedes for the people. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know how you will send who you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name and you have found favour with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favour with you. Remember, this nation is your people, right? The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. If you don't come with us, Lord, right? We're not going. What's the word for my presence?
Being with you.
Yes. No, you all know it. The Hebrew word for my presence is my face. My face will go with you. Yeah? It's a lovely phrase, isn't it? My face will go with you. If you've got God's face, face to face, you've got blessing. Yeah? So he says, my presence will go with you. That's his face. He's called it. And then, would you believe it? There's a reference to the angel of the face. Did you know? The angel of the face is the same, Jesus. It's the angel of the presence. Right? And it's in, if you can find it, Isaiah 63, verse 9. Have you found it, John? Isaiah 63, verse 9. You'll be pleased to know we've nearly reached the end of the road on this one.
Yeah.
Isaiah 63, verse 9. Now, I'm taking issue with the NIV on this one as well, unfortunately. In all their distresses, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. Well, they put angel with a small a and presence with a small p in my translation.
Yeah, exactly.
It should be capital A for angel and capital P for presence. This is the angel of God. The angel of the Lord.
Yeah. What was that
number? That's Isaiah 63, verse 9. The angel of his presence saved them. That's nothing less than Jesus. Right? He's with them all the way. Isn't that lovely, eh? Right? It's the angel of his face, by the way. Yeah, that's the phrase. The angel of the face.
Underlined.
Hey?
I've got presence underlined.
Underlined. Oh, have you? All right. It's a good one, yes.
Yeah. An angel.
Wonderful. So it's the angel of the Lord. It's none other than the Lord Jesus himself. Right. Okay. Okay. Nearly there, dear friends. Well, if God appeared to Moses, and Jesus revealed himself to Moses as the leading of the people, well, Joshua has to lead the people out of the wilderness into the promised land, isn't he? Right, if you're going to do a job like that, you're going to need all the help you can get. Right, do you think the Lord's going to appear to Joshua? Yes, is the answer. And you find that in Joshua chapter 5. So if you could move on, please, to Joshua chapter 5. One wonderful passage this. Oh, you'll really be blessed with this. I hope you'll be blessed with it anyway. It's about the Battle of Jericho.
Joshua chapter 4.
Have I got chapter 5? I've got the chapter 5. No, I've got the wrong reference here. No. Yeah, chapter 5, verse 13. Right, Battle of Jericho. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. Right, you got the idea? We're just waiting for him to find it now. It's Joshua. It's after Deuteronomy. You got it?
Yeah. Right.
Right. Verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. And then he told him how to win the battle. Gave him the instructions for the army, right? But he met this person called the commander of the army of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right, it's interesting, isn't it?
Is that Jesus?
Yes. Well, this is no ordinary angel, because what does he tell him to do? He tells him to take off his sandals. What is that? It's worship. It's worship. And one thing, if you read Revelation, John had a few moments of madness when he fell down in front of this magnificent being, which was an angel. He said, don't do it. Get up. You don't worship angels. You worship God. Right? Well, this angel is saying, get your shoes off. This is holy ground. I'm here. Right? He's calling for worship. Right? It's got to be Jesus. Can't be any old angel. Not just any old angel will do when you don't worship them. And so he says, take your sandals off. And he says, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. That's the hosts, the hosts of God.
Rank,
yes. top general of the army. And what's the army of God? What are they?
Angels.
They're angels. Yeah. He's in charge of angels. Right? That's what he is. He's in charge of angels. He's the commander of them all, right? Of course he is, because he's the Lord. Right? But there's a beautiful parallel with that. In the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? If I can find it, it's in Matthew 26:53. I think it's the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26. It's near there, anyway. Matthew 26:53. Well, it's when they come to arrest Jesus. It is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right?
26:53.
Right. Peter was a very good fisherman, but a lousy swordsman. Because he had a sword and he took a swipe at the servant. And what did he intend to chop off? Was his hair. All he got was his ear. Right? Right. But, it says, verse 52, put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Who's in charge of the armies there, eh? Jesus can issue the commands and tell 12 legions of angels to get him out of Gethsemane if he wanted to. But he isn't going to, because he's the captain of the hosts. So, there you go. Right. Back to Joshua. Right. The angel of the Lord met Joshua and gave him his instructions. Well, just one more. Almost. Two more. Judges. We're pressing on well here. Judges. Chapter 13. It's an amusing one. This Alex amusing one. It just shows how wise ladies can be. Of course, yeah. It's Judges chapter 13. It's about the birth of the man called Samson. His mum and dad told. Let's read the story. I think it's a lovely story. Verse 2. Have you found it? Chapter 13 of Judges, verse 2. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless.
Chapter 13
of Judges. Chapter 13 of Judges. Have you got Judges for a start?
Got it now.
You got it? Right. Okay.
I've got a language now, a bit slower.
I know. And it's getting late as well, I know. Right. Okay, let's start the story again. Are you sitting comfortably? I think it's a fabulous story this year. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are sterile and childless, but, that's wonderful, isn't it? Is there anything impossible for God?
No.
But you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Then the woman went to her husband and told him, a man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day. Manoah got up and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said, Are you the one who talked to my wife? I am, he said. So Manoah asked him, When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work? Just to say that, you notice he's got faith.
Yeah.
When it happens, not if. Yeah. Right? The angel of the Lord answered, Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you. The angel of the Lord replied, Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord. Manoah did not yet realize that it was the angel of the Lord. He just thinks he's a man of God. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, What is your name, so that we may honor you when your word comes true? He replied, Why do you ask my name? He's doing that again, isn't he?
Yeah?
That's what Jacob said. Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding. It is wonderful. Yes. Right. So he's not telling him. Yes. The man, Manoah, took the young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. I think that's a beautiful line. That's a funny line, that, for me. The Lord did an amazing thing. The Lord always does amazing things. Yeah, but this is an amazing one too. As the flame blazed up from the altar towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. And when the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. We're doomed to die, he said to his wife. We have seen God. See, same idea coming forward here. But his wife answered, If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this. The woman gave birth to a boy, and named him Samson, and he grew and the Lord blessed him. And so on. Right. And that's lovely. She's a wise old girl, isn't she? She said, God's not going to kill us if he wants us to have a kid.
What does it mean, no blade shall touch his head?
You don't get haircuts. No haircuts.
Yeah.
Samson's hair was a symbol of his strength, wasn't it?
Delilah.
Well, you know about that, yeah. But you see in this passage that the interaction of the words man, angel, God, the angel of the Lord. Yeah. It's only Jesus that fits all of that. So that's it. We're nearly there. Right. Okay. The last reference to the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Malachi 3:1. So we're nearly out of it now. Malachi 3:1. If you find that, that's just before Matthew.
What was that verse
1? Chapter 3, verse 1. Right. And I have to take issue again with the translators here. Yeah. You'll see. See, verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Do you know what the word messenger is better translated as?
The angel.
Angel. The angel of the covenant is the angel of the Lord, right? And he said, I'll send my messenger. Who was the messenger?
Angel.
No. Don't get it right. I'll send my messenger who will prepare the way for my angel. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, which helps to explain, finally, brothers and sisters, you will discover that there is no such person in the New Testament who is called the angel of the Lord. There's an angel of the Lord, he's called an angel of the Lord. But the angel of the Lord does not appear in the New Testament. Do you know why?
Because
we know what his name is. It's Jesus now, right? Jesus is his name. Right. I remember some years ago we had a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses come and visit where I was staying with my mother-in-law in Yorkshire. And there was a young one and an older one, you know, the sort of trainee was the younger one. And they got talking. And I happened to mention, I says, you know, one of the fascinating people, the characters in the Old Testament, is the angel of the Lord. You know, he speaks as God, he's addressed as God, he's worshipped as God. And the young girl said, you know, it's funny, I've always puzzled about that. And the older one says, we'll have to go now.
That's deliberate,
isn't it?
That's not ignorance. When he says that,
that's deliberate. Right, let's pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've always been around, and Lord, you blessed these your people so long ago. And Lord, you're still making yourself known through your Spirit now, Lord, and into our lives, Lord. And we just thank you, Jesus. We're going to see you face to face, and Lord, the promise is we're not going to die, Lord. We're going to be like you. We're going to be transformed into your likeness, Lord. What a promise! And we just bless you, Lord, for your. Your being in it all and through it all. And Father, thank you that you revealed yourself through your Son. Lord, how good you are and how gracious to us. And we just praise you, Father. Pray, Lord, you help us as we read our Bibles to know that our Jesus is with us all the way through. Bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name.